Let's see if I remember how to do this. Hi there. Welcome to the new LifeSpring Family Audio Bible, episode 561. My name is Steve Webb, and I'm your host. And I'm back. I was a day late getting back home because of Hurricane Matthew, but thanks to planning in advance, you got yesterday's episode even though I wasn't here at the appointed time. Stay tuned after today's reading and commentary for a few details about my trip. If this is your first time here, allow me to give you a hearty welcome. Thank you for joining us. It's great to meet you. And if you're already a member of the LifeSpring family, I consider you a family member. If you've listened more than once, I'm so pleased that you're here today too. Lots of people say, I need to read the Bible more, but man, it's so hard to stick to it. Well, this is the podcast that helps you do that. On Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, we read the Old Testament, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we read the New Testament. Today we're going to read the book of Philemon from the Common English Bible and Hebrews 1 and 2 from the New English Translation. Let's get started. Philemon chapter 1. From Paul, who is a prisoner for the cause of Christ Jesus, and our brother Timothy. To Philemon, our dearly loved co-worker, Apphia, our sister, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and the church that meets in your house. May the grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Philemon, I thank my God every time I mention you in my prayers, because I've heard of your love and faithfulness which you have both for the Lord Jesus and for all God's people. I pray that your partnership in the faith might become effective by an understanding of all that is good among us in Christ. I have great joy and encouragement because of your love, since the hearts of God's people are refreshed by your actions, my brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to command you to do the right thing, I would rather appeal to you through love. I, Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner for Christ Jesus, appeal to you for my child Onesimus. I became his father in the faith during my time in prison. He was useless to you before, but now he is useful to both of us. I am sending him back to you, which is like sending you my own heart. I considered keeping him with me so that he might serve me in your place during my time in prison because of the gospel. However, I didn't want to do anything without your consent so that your act of kindness would occur willingly and not under pressure. Maybe this is the reason that Onesimus was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, that is, as a dearly loved brother. He is especially a dearly loved brother to me. How much more can he become a brother to you, personally and spiritually, in the Lord? So, if you really consider me a partner, welcome Onesimus as if you were welcoming me. If he has harmed you in any way or owes you money, charge it to my account. I, Paul, will pay it back to you. I'm writing this with my own hand. Of course, I won't mention that you owe me your life. Yes, brother, I want this favor from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. I'm writing to you confident of your obedience and knowing that you will do more than what I ask. Also, one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me. I hope that I will be released from prison to be with you because of your prayers. Epaphras, who is in prison with me for the cause of Christ Jesus, greets you, as well as my co-workers Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Hebrews chapter 1. After God spoke long ago, in various portions and in various ways, to our ancestors through the prophets, in these last days he has spoken to us in a Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he created the world. The Son is the radiance of his glory and the representation of his essence, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. And so, when he had accomplished cleansing for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Thus he became so far better than the angels, as he had inherited a name superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, today I have fathered you"? And in another place he says, "I will be his Father, and he will be my Son." But when he again brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." And he says of the angels, "He makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and a righteous scepter is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. So God, your God, has anointed you over your companions with the oil of rejoicing. And you founded the earth in the beginning, Lord, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you continue. And they will all grow old like a garment, and like a robe you will fold them up, and like a garment they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will never run out. But to which of the angels has he ever said, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits set out to serve those who will inherit salvation? Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken through angels proved to be so firm that every violation or disobedience received its just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was first communicated through the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, while God confirmed their witness with signs and wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. For he did not put the world to come, about which we are speaking, under the control of angels. Instead, someone testified somewhere, What is man that you think of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him lower than the angels for a little while. You crowned him with glory and honor. You put all things under his control. For when he put all things under his control, he left nothing outside of his control. At present, we do not yet see all things under his control. But we see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor because he suffered death, so that by God's grace he would experience death on behalf of everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For indeed, he who makes holy, and those being made holy, all have the same origin. And so he is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to be my brothers. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Again he says, I will be confident in him. And again, here I am with the children God has given me. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he likewise shared in their humanity, so that through death, he could destroy the one who holds the power of death, that is, the devil, and set free those who were held in slavery all their lives by the fear of death. For surely his concern is not for angels, but he is concerned for Abraham's descendants. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest in things relating to God, to make atonement for the sins of the people. For since he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. May God bless the reading of his word. Today I have a few thoughts about the book of Philemon. Paul's tender love for both Philemon and Onesimus is evident in this short letter, isn't it? If the message of the gospel could be boiled down, it's all about forgiveness. And Paul, who at one time persecuted Christians, even to the point of holding the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen to death, the very first Christian martyr, Paul could speak firsthand about being forgiven. Jesus appeared to Paul in a vision as he was headed to Damascus on another mission to persecute Christians, and Jesus asked him, Saul, why do you persecute me? I won't recount the whole story here, but Paul, whose original name was Saul, was convinced that Jesus is the Messiah, and lived the rest of his life serving the God who forgave him. Asking Philemon to forgive Onesimus as Jesus forgave him was at once a big ask and completely in character with who Saul became once Jesus got a hold of his heart and changed his name to Paul. If we, who have been forgiven of so much, cannot find it in our hearts to forgive those who do wrong to us, I think it's time to reevaluate. Jesus said, They know you are my disciples by your love. Is that how the world knows us? What do you think? Well, as you probably know, I've been away for the last about 3 weeks because I helped my youngest son, Timothy, move to North Carolina for a new job. We hit the road on Wednesday, the 28th of September, when we drove about 16 hours to our first stop in Texas. The next day, we drove only about 12 hours to Memphis, and the last day was another 14-hour day to Wilmington, North Carolina. Thankfully, the drive was uneventful, but man, those hours were brutal. We had to do the long days because Tim's job started on Monday, October 1st, and we had to get him moved into his apartment over the weekend. And there was a hard deadline for our arrival on Friday because he had to get the key to the apartment, and the leasing office closed at 5 o'clock. We didn't want to have to stay in a motel that night, so it was just go, 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 go all the way. The only time we had for a break was the night that we stayed in Memphis. We got there early enough to stop by Graceland, even though the tours had already stopped. We couldn't get into the house, but of course, they had the gift shop open, so we went in there and looked around. And then the next morning, we got up really early, like about 4 o'clock, and we made a quick stop in Tupelo, Mississippi to see Elvis's birthplace and the church he grew up in, which it just so happens one of my great uncles had the opportunity to preach in many, many, many years ago. Anyway, it was really cool being there so early because we were the only ones there. Of course, it was closed, so we couldn't get in, but we were able to wander all around the premises without any other tourists being there. It was really kind of neat. So anyway, we got Tim moved into his apartment and familiarized with his new hometown, and the plan was for me to spend the week there just sort of hanging out with him each day after work. And then during the days when he was at work, I explored Wilmington and the surrounding areas, and I tell you, I just fell in love with the place. It's just so green there. Coming from Southern California, which is really just a desert, I loved it. And then we started hearing about this hurricane brewing out in the ocean south of Haiti. Well, we watched it develop over several days, and I finally decided that instead of flying back home on Saturday as I had planned, I would wait until Sunday, since it looked like Hurricane Matthew would arrive sometime Friday night. And I'm glad I made that decision. When Matthew finally came, it ended up causing something like 540,000 homes to lose power in North Carolina, including Timothy's apartment. Some areas of North Carolina had some pretty bad flooding, but Wilmington had only a few problems with that. I think the rainfall there was something like 6 inches, but other parts of the state got almost 15 inches or thereabouts. I'm glad I was there to go through it with Tim because, well, being in a new part of the country with a new job, away from friends and family, and then be hit with a hurricane within a week of getting there would have just been more than he, or really his mom, would have wanted him to go through. So it was good that I was there. But then my trip home on Sunday was not what I thought it would be either. The flight was scheduled to depart Wilmington International Airport, which is now my favorite airport of all time. It's just so small and easy to get to. The flight was supposed to leave at about 3:34. Well, we boarded the plane on time, and then we were told almost immediately, once everybody got on board, that we had to get off because there was a problem with an engine cowl, and that it would be at least an hour before they could fix it. Well, 1 hour turned into almost four, so I missed my connecting flight in Atlanta, which was supposed to take off at about 8. Well, the next flight available was about, I think it was 9:30. And whatever it was, I was originally supposed to arrive in San Diego at 8:13 p.m., but I didn't get there until about 11 o'clock, which, according to my Eastern time zone body clock, was 2 in the morning. And I had gotten up at 4 o'clock the previous morning, so that was a long, brutal day. But overall, it was a good trip. Tim and I had some good quality father-son times, and he's doing well in his new home now. Of course, his mom and I are thankful. And she misses him terribly since he's the youngest and is now so very far away. Me? Well, I'm making plans to convert his bedroom into a video production studio. So that's it in a nutshell. You're up to date. And by the way, if you'd like to see some pictures from the trip, check out my Facebook page or Instagram. I'm steve.webb on Facebook or _steve_webb_ on Instagram. Check them out. I'll see you tomorrow. Until then, may God bless you richly. I'm Steve Webb. Bye.